text line 343-0106, 343-0106. It is Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, Dr. Bill Williams, came with traffic, Kelly Finley, and you, phone number 343-0106. And yeah, day two of our birthday celebration, and I think it's been pretty good so far.
Yeah, we're 10 years and 1 day and 8 hours. Yeah,
very cool. And thank you. As you could, we'll do it like children do. How old are you? 7 and a half.
Yeah.
7 3/4.
Uh-huh.
What grade? I'm 9 1/4.
What grade do 10th graders, what grade are they normally in? 5th grade? Does that sound about right?
What? 10-year-olds.
10-year-olds,
10th,
yes.
Graders. I'm going to say they're in 10th grade. Yeah. I'm waiting for some kind of riddle or trap there. 10-year-olds would be in, it could be, it depends, I would say, fourth grade?
Okay.
Is fourth grade sound right? Fourth grade? Or
yeah, we'd be in fourth grade, probably learning cursive right now.
Yes, yes. Okay. Can you still, actually, I know you, Dalton, first of all, man has never had a cavity and he has perfect cursive writing.
Yes.
You disgust me.
I'm single-handedly trying to keep cursive alive.
You have, you are like the penmanship, you're the keystone to penmanship around here.
I mean, when they teach you cursive, I put so many hours into learning that mode of writing, I'm not just going to throw it away.
See, and as soon as I could, this is bad, cursive writing does trigger places in the brain, and it's a good thing and all that, and it looks nice. But as soon as I could not have to write in cursive, I went back to printing.
I learned cursive twice, because I learned cursive early in Tennessee.
Yes.
Moved to Alabama.
It was a different cursive?
They hadn't yet started on cursive. So I had a step back, even though I was in the same grade, and just relearned it.
You doubled up in cursive?
Doubled up in cursive.
All right.
Too much cursive
disgusting.
Talk.
Never had a cavity. Perfect penmanship. Y'all. That's Dalton Orwig.
Thank you.
And this is a story. I've just heard the story last hour, and I'm kind of reading through the first thing that came up on a Google search here. I think this is really interesting. This story is being spun as a climate change fighting tool story or something like that, and that's fine. To me, the same reason people will say, you don't even talk to somebody, you don't even know about solar. I said, really? I'm pretty obsessive on solar power. I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a consistent wind source, maybe the station, but a wind source, I'd be into that as well, because I think new technology, new energy is a good thing. Number one, if you can reduce the use of fossil fuels, not number one for environmental reasons, number two for geopolitical reasons, it's very good. And personally, I like the idea of if there is some energy that can be gleaned without paying for it every time out there, I'm in.
Just makes sense.
It makes sense. So I'm in for it. So I saw this story about air conditioners that may filter carbon out of the air and then bank it. Okay? This is brand new to me as well. So this is coming from fastcompany.com, but there are a few people who have the story up. It said the air conditioners and ventilation systems on apartment complexes or office towers aren't typically a tool for fighting climate change. Air conditioning alone may push up electricity by the middle of the century, that it could push up the average global temperature by a half degree, just from HVAC, they're saying. What if instead of contributing to climate change, HVAC systems could instead remove carbon from the air as they keep us cool? The idea behind carbon capture is that machines suck carbon dioxide from the air, an example of negative emissions. This requires moving around large volumes of air, and the machines typically do that by running fans, a process that itself uses a lot of energy. New studies suggest that HVAC fans on buildings could help do some of the work. Quote, if you think about the amount of air that flows through these air conditioning, ventilation, and heating systems, it's a huge amount, says Roland Dittmeier, chemical engineer at a German-based Institute of Technology. He said, you already pay for that electricity to contact this air, end quote. The system would be very simple. This is, y'all, where I had the light bulb went off and I said, this is cool. The system would be simple. Modular attachments to air conditioners could pull air inside and through filters that would capture the CO2.
Okay.
Then a combination of renewable energy and waste heat could be used to convert it into a carbon neutral liquid fuel that could be used to replace, for example, jet fuel.
Wow.
So think about this. If the science lines out, you're already pulling the air through doing the process of getting an air conditioner work, and then you have a way says to because of the waste heat from, you know, you go touch an air conditioning unit, they're hot.
Oh, right? Yeah.
The outside, the heat. Okay. You use that waste heat to convert that CO2 into a carbon neutral liquid fuel. They call this process direct air capture. There's a few companies already starting to work on this, trying to make synthetic fuel out of it. It's more expensive than other fuels, like, and I would say that's fine. Most brand new technologies are. Although it's more expensive than other fuels, there are already subsidies in place to help create a market for it. How I feel about that. I like to let the market figure it out. In California, for example, a state program gives producers of low-carbon fuels credits that they could make it affordable for an airline to buy synthetic jet fuel from these companies. All right. So it goes, I'm going to link this through on the Twitter feed, but it's because it goes into detail, and I know there's probably some other nerds like me out there that want to look at the detail on this, and maybe we can discuss it over on Twitter. But it's the idea, if this is, and this bears fruit here, what if, I mean, I like the idea, like they're rebuilding in Puerto Rico after the hurricanes, and they're saying maybe, because their infrastructure is so bad down there anyway, they said maybe instead of worrying about the grid in Puerto Rico, we need to worry about making houses self-sustaining. Solar, wind, these things that you're your own utility,
right,
for power. Well, what if you could do a system, even a hybrid, and you had your air conditioning running that was then producing a fuel you could put in your vehicle? Like, it's a carbon fuel. Mm-hmm. It's a fossil fuel, but it's, in a way, it's really not. It's taken from CO2 in the air and turned into a synthetic fossil fuel in a liquid form. It's fascinating. I don't claim to understand the whole process here. I don't, but I know that I am interested.
It just goes so far above my head. But how tight do those, like, how do those filters have to work to grab carbon out of the air? I'm picturing like plants, plants inside of
right.
The
we remember plants
AC,
take up CO2, right?
Pull off the CO2. And what I would be worried about if it's taking that and turning it into fuel. And I guess it would sit there in some kind of canister.
I
in
guess
the AC.
It's kind of what they said, some kind of catch basin or something.
Then wouldn't we have ACs just exploding everywhere if you got fuel sitting right inside of them? Wouldn't it be a pretty big fire hazard?
You mow your lawn, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What does your lawnmower run on?
Fuel.
Okay. Where is that fuel stored right now?
In the lawnmower.
Yeah. What about the fuel that's not in the lawnmower? Do you have a can?
Yes. It's right beside the lawnmower.
Has it blown up?
No, it hadn't.
Okay. Just check it. Just wanted to check and just be clear on that. I mean, yes, if you had some wire, and I don't know the volatility rate for this synthetic fuel. This is brand new to me, and I'm learning. But if you had some wire sparking above it, like in some bad MacGyver episode, that's one thing. But if not, you have a safe. It's deposited into a safe container, I would imagine.
Yeah,
it's the idea of pulling CO2 out of the air and converting it into a synthetic liquid fuel is just, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, and whoever came up with that, probably one of the smartest men in America or wherever they're from. I wonder if AOC,
I'm jealous of that stuff.
Because remember, AOC wanted us to take all of the air conditioners in every building and remake every single thing. I wonder if she's gotten her hands on this story yet.
There's people that want to like mandate and limit, where I want to expand. Here's somebody going, okay, this is an issue. How do we solve this? And how do we do this with a market-based? Think about the market-based solution. If you have gigantic air conditioning units that are producing X number of gallons of this synthetic fuel that somebody else wants to buy, defrays the cost of running the air condition, reuses that carbon, takes it out of the air, and reuse. It's fascinating. Fascinating. So, that was just it really doesn't blend in with anything else I had on the docket today. Rob Holbert's coming in. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. But I saw that, heard the story, then went, looked it up, and I said, I think that's cool.
They're really coming after you on the text line, Sean. Yeah. Somebody said, how dare you suggest there are bad MacGyver episodes?
Good point. That's solid. I can't really, at this point, I have no defense. I do want to read one thing here before we run to the news break, and then we'll come right back, grab some calls and text at 343-0106. A friend of the radio station sent this text in, and I want to make sure that this is read aloud. All right. She said, I want to give a shout out to the Daphne Police Department and the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. I was involved in a terrifying domestic abuse situation, and police officers and deputies did everything they possibly could to protect me and my children at their own risk, on top of comforting me when I was distraught and thought I had nowhere to turn. People complain about police all the time, but when I really needed them, they were there and going above and beyond. Thank God for the men and women in blue.
Wow.
So that's from one of our texters, one of our friends here at the radio station, person we know personally. And we say it for all law enforcement, but specifically this morning, Daphne Police Department, DCSO. Awesome, y'all.
Thank
Great
you.
Work. And that's a firsthand testament to what those men and women in law enforcement do every day. So just want to pass that along. Coming right back. Phone number, we'll leave some lines open. 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5, both your mornings. Thursday sells. I do dearly love Thursdays. It's my favorite day of the week.
My second favorite day of the week.
Yeah? First?
Friday.
See, and we're flipped.
Yeah, that's all.
Because I'm just being contrarian, I guess.
You don't like Friday because it's a day closer to Monday.
That's right. That's right. Hey, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Also, the sponsors of the online opinion poll question. And let me tell you a little something, too, about my buddy Trey.
Mm-hmm.
We're celebrating our 10th anniversary. I'm calling it a birthday. Somebody called me last night. They said, do we say anniversary or birthday? I said, I'm saying birthday, mm-hmm. but I mean, I may be not doing it correctly, but I'm still saying birthday.
Sounds better than launch day.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So our birthday now in our 10th year with FM Talk 106.5 and my buddy Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK, 11 years have been doing it here. So he beat us to it by a year. So hey, he's been doing business with Bobbio and Baldwin County folks for over 10 years. And the reason he keeps doing business, he does it quickly, he does it efficiently, and it's a appointment time, not a spectrum of time. People, you got junk, you want it gone. You got the junk in your house, you need to get it out before you try to get organized and, you know, try to get off on the right foot, maybe big summer cleaning you're going to do. Or maybe it's like your office. Maybe you've gone completely digital at your office, but for some reason still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 metal filing cabinets that are just taking up space in your office. Get rid of those as well. Maybe it's a storage unit. Whatever. You got junk, you need it gone. You need my buddy Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And just pick up the phone and give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, 823. By the way, Rob's going to join us in just about 10 minutes. Rob Holbert with Lanyap. And we'll discuss the difference between the two covers. Lanyap now has a Mobile edition, Mobile County, and a Baldwin County edition.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to point out, Mobile County edition has what?
Well, this week, there's a prisoner on the cover of the Mobile edition.
Okay, so we're looking at some hands through some bars here, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's breaking out of prison or what exactly is going on here. But then the Baldwin County edition,
what's it have?
In stark contrast, has a volleyball player spiking a ball on a beautiful beach on a beautiful sunny day.
That's all I'm saying. Just pointing this out, but just continues to reinforce.
A little bias there.
And by the way, I am going through the text here. Y'all, I don't know how this whole process works on these air conditioned unit things, but I'm going to learn. I mean, I've just heard about it last hour. I'll dive into some stuff. I think this is really cool. This is the kind of technology. I think if people discount, some people will discount something. Well, that's just some green, foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
That's efficient, man. If you can do that and kill two birds with one stone, that's efficient. I mean, solar is cool. Wind is cool. I don't think the idea that tomorrow you're going to switch to those is realistic. I mean, fossil fuels are going to be part of our lives for a long time. We need to be energy independent in this country. At the same time, if there are if there are efficient alternative energies out there and we can get better at harnessing them, let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of so many buildings. I mean, I was in the hospital just a few months ago when my baby was being born. I looked up over the top of the hospital. You know, there's tiers, and you see just hundreds of air conditioning units on top.
Well, you see the stuff on the ceiling here of this building.
Yeah, and think like Sam's Club and Costco. They could probably fuel the entire county. But I'm wondering if it stops with air conditioners. If we can take this CO2 and filter it and turn it into fuel.
I'm so excited. Maybe I got to get it under control.
Maybe some underwear for cows. that filters the CO2, and then we'll have some kind of canister behind them that's just collecting that as they walk around the fields.
One of those little rolling garden carts behind the cattle, and then you can come up and instead of milking the cattle, you just come up and take that drum off there, and then put a new fresh one on.
Yeah, it's the start of a brand new world.
If I could pull the tractor up and have them produce diesel and off-road, we'd have to put some red dye in the cows so the tax man wouldn't get me, so it'd be off-road diesel. Pull up and just fill up the tractor off the cows. That would be nice. Susan, now, This isn't the first time this has happened, Susan, is it? She said, I just had a motorcycle pass me going at least 90 miles an hour, going past Moffett Road, Spring Hill exit on 65 South. Now, that's not responsible. Well, of course it's not.
That's why you get a motorcycle.
Quite often, those genes don't make it onto the next generation.
No.
But, you know, you get that old, yeah, you're cruising along at some speed. Of course, none of us would run over the speed limit in our cars, but you're cruising at whatever speed that is, and
yeah.
I see it
on airport every day, which that's a dangerous place to do it.
That's right. I mean, there are plenty of people riding motorcycles that are very responsible, and I take seriously watching for them in traffic like you would anybody else. But just a little mistake is the idea of going that fast on a motorcycle, you know, down a road. And I see it on the interstate more than anywhere, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Susan, I've seen that once or 16 times.
You know, I've never had awful road rage. I've been the person that sits in the car and yells at people to myself. I don't like roll the window down and yell at
right.
them. And I thought when my child was born that would tamper down, because the first few days I was way more calm than I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, somebody almost rear-ended me. So I was coming up on a red light, and I drive safer than ever now, mm-hmm. especially when the baby's in the car, which is what happened in this instance. So I had the baby behind me, taking her from daycare.
Uh-huh.
She was in the back seat. I'm driving carefully. I pull up to my light right there at Vista Ridge, mm-hmm. and I was about to turn in, and a red light was coming up. So I was completely slowing down all the way like 5 miles an hour. A car almost rear-ends me, pulls into the next lane, almost rear-ends the car in the next lane, swerves in between us fighter jet style, and then flies through the red light, and I almost lost it. I mean there's so many bad drivers out there, and I really didn't realize it until I had a kid in the back seat of the car.
Well, you're gonna you don't need to, nobody needs to be hollering or shouting at people, but what you do with your children in the car, I can mm-hmm. tell you after all these years, you use those as teaching moments. Now, I don't know, you know, children have a habit of just zoning out when their parents are talking. That's why, remember in Snoopy, it would be wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. Okay. But I use it as a... I said, you see what they did there, kids? I have to give a lecture on why the person was not driving properly. Maybe it'll stick with them. If 5% does, then it's a win.
I'm still working on not using bad language, so I'm trying to change my words to more friendly, child-friendly language when I yell in the car.
And there's a bunch of people saying, what happens when we over-harvest CO2? Goodbye, plants. Yes, but I don't think if the abundance of CO2 is what it supposedly is out there, and I'm not saying supposed, like I doubt it, I don't think it's a conspiracy, but we've been told the abundance of CO2 that obviously leads to greenhouse situation, mm-hmm. and the holding in of the heat. I don't think anytime soon we'd be at peak CO2. We'd be going down from there. So it's, you know, if you can go to the Twitter feed, you can see the full story. I think it's pretty cool. All right, coming up, Rob Hulbert. I do want to get a couple other things in here, too. Yesterday, some movement on a couple different bills in the state legislature that are of note here. The HB, I forget what it is off the top of my head. It is the bill that would give extra teeth and a felony to possess a stolen handgun.
Mm-hmm.
It's, remember all the different ideas of how can we solve the issue with stolen handguns and in Mobile, and how many are used in crimes. As it stands now, the value of that gun, handgun or a long rifle, but I think mostly we're talking handguns, the value of it, listen, even if you have a nice semi-auto 40 or a 9, you're under the misdemeanor level.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's $1,200. So when somebody's caught with one of those stolen handguns, it's a misdemeanor because the value of the handgun is under the cap. So the move here is to change it and have extra teeth for something beyond, even though it might be under $1,200 or whatever it is, you would have extra teeth in the law because it's a stolen handgun. That bill seemed to move yesterday pretty good in the legislature. So we'll talk more about that coming up. Plus, Rob Hulbert will explain to us why there's very different covers for Lanyap.
He's got some explaining to do.
He does that, for sure. And we'll do that next. This is how they were driving around you?
Yeah.
All right. Coming right back.
On FM Talk 106.5, this is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How is everybody?
Hey, we're all doing great here at FM Talk 106.5. And McConnell Automotive, we got a new month, and that means new deals. Tell us what's going on.
Well, one of the things, Dalton, is we probably have the biggest selection of trucks in GMC models, at least anywhere around. And so we found out yesterday that the new X31, which replaced the Z71, and it's the brand new truck with the multifunction tailgate. We got these huge discounts. And so last month it was all about the 18 models. This month you got 19. And the AT4, Dalton, that everybody's freaking out about, it's got the lift kit and the red tow hooks on the front and all kinds of cool stuff like everybody is really after these days. But the off-road look, we've got a $4,500 rebate on it. So just want everybody to, if you're in a truck mood or in the mood for a Yukon or a Denali, these are really cool deals, and the selections are great, buddy. And the website, everybody loves it because it's easy to do on your phone, which is McConnellAutomotive.com. And pretty much everything we got right now has got really cool, wonderful prices. And, man, we're just having fun helping people, Dalton. It's been a lot of fun, and we appreciate the station helping us put these messages out, buddy.
Awesome. Can't wait to come by and check out the trucks. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Y'all have a great day, man.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. Y'all say hello to our buddy Rob Holbert with Lanyap. Hey, man.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. Can I take a second before we get into the news in the new edition of Lanyap?
Yes, sir.
And just talk about covers here one more time. You know, I've just had this running theory.
Every week I know this is like, God, I look at it now and I'm like, Sullivan's going to have a heyday with this one. Have a field day with this one.
You know, I just have this running theory. People that are new to this discussion, this open conversation between Rob and I, that now with the two editions, the Baldwin County edition of Lanyap, in addition to the Mobile County edition of Lanyap, that I see a break in the covers and I see the gritty, raw, maybe even graphic design done with pencil and a very staccato-like hand or pictures of gritty realities compared with watercolors of people wearing topsiders and walking down a pier for the Baldwin County edition.
I will say that there have been some covers on the Baldwin side that maybe would lend one to think that life over there is a little nicer.
Okay, I mean, just let's compare. Let's talk about this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't argue with that. You know, we've got a cover of a prisoner breaking out of jail on the Mobile side, and somebody with a volleyball in their hand on the Baldwin side.
Okay, Your Honor, I rest.
But you know, look, I'm just going to say, you know, it'll flip. There's good coverage inside that Baldwin paper of all sorts of stuff going on in Baldwin.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the covers. I never said the copy inside. I was very specific, as I've been talking about this, to the covers. And thank you, Your Honor. I rest my case.
Well, we'll revisit this over time. It will all balance out. Yeah, but I can't really argue with you very much right now. I don't have very much.
I don't have
very much ammunition on that.
Thank you. That's it. So we'll leave that. You know, I'll just put that on the shelf right there. All right, let's get into a couple other things here. First of all, let's talk about some Carnival.
Well, you know, I mean, the big story, obviously, that this week has been the discussion about what we're going to do about Mardi Gras when the Civic Center is being redone. And so the mayor came out this week with a plan to have the Mardi Gras balls at a warehouse called 23 East that's out at Brooklyn. And, you know, that's been greeted with a mixed bag on that one. You know, there's, of course, people who are very upset by the concept of doing anything that's different than what they've been doing. But there's some stuff that, but, you know, yeah. So the question is, you know, whether what we're going to do is, what are we going to do with the old property? Is it going to be, are they going to build a new arena or not? Right now, there's no plans for a new arena. There's no plan for a new arena out there. So, you know, is this going to be a permanent solution? Is this going to be a solution, a temporary solution? We're going to have to find something else that is a more permanent. You know, that's where all of this goes right now.
Okay, so, I mean, there's a short-term and long-term discussion. I think in the short term, you could combine a couple stories here. Maybe the Mardi Gras organizations can show up at Brooklyn, get on the Frontier Airlines, and fly into new destinations to hold their balls.
it's cheap enough, right?
Yes. So I mean, just something that, but I mean, what is okay? What's the future here? That's you've got the Civic Center property. It gets remodeled or raised?
I think it gets raised.
Okay.
You know, I think that's what they're looking at this point. There's two companies that are putting together competing plans on this issue, and most likely it's going to be torn down, is what I think you're going to see. And then, you know, it's going to be a mixed-use type of thing. You know, there probably will be some residential. There's, I'm sure, going to be some, you know, retail and other things like that. There's a question of whether there will be any kind of an arena. Right now, it doesn't appear that there will be. Nothing saying that there definitely won't be, but there's no plans at this point to put one there.
So where do they go?
Well, you know, I don't know that, you know, right now this warehouse is something that, you know, it's something that they've been doing over in New Orleans for a while too. They've got a big warehouse over there they've been using for balls, and that's the group from the city went over there, the mayor and council people went over, checked it out, and they felt pretty good about what they saw over there and feel like this could be something, certainly at least in the interim. And, you know, where it goes from there, I don't know.
But I mean, I'm reading, like, there's no air conditioning or heat or stage or anything for a tableau or...
Well, I mean, I think all those types of things can be put in there if that's an issue, because they've certainly had big events there before. I mean, they've had, you know, they've had a number of big events at that place. So I don't know that that's an issue that's a real big roadblock in that regard.
All right.
But I mean, you know, I think the big issue you come up with over and over again with the Mardi Gras groups on this is that a lot of them just say, well, we don't want to do anything different than what we're doing. And, you know, what's the answer to that? I mean, something's got to give. And, you know, I hope that maybe that there will be something that they'll come together and build something specifically for Mardi Gras. That would make the most sense to me. But that can be used, obviously has more uses throughout the year, but they will at least accommodate them.
Yeah, there are some organizations that have already taken it upon themselves, building new facilities, having a place that maybe they can have their own balls, you know, let alone they have their own facilities, but they can have their balls there, kind of insourcing things that have been outsourced in the past. But that's not for, I mean, there are so many Mardi Gras organizations that they're not all going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, long term, I think Mobile's going to have some sort of a, you know, an arena. I think we have to have one at some point. How long that takes, I don't know. But, I mean, it's just, if you say, well, let's do away with all of that, you don't really have any sort of venue anymore that can really hold that number of people. You know, I guess you go out to the Mitchell Center, but they haven't really spent a lot of time having concerts and things like that at the Mitchell Center. So, and it doesn't really serve downtown. I would imagine in the long run you're going to end up with something, but it may not be part of this process.
All right, let's jump to another story, Jason Johnson's story. And this man's called this show before in the past, Ralph Atkins, and Southern Fish and Oyster closing after 84 years. Talk to me about this.
You know, it's a big thing. It's one of the you know, it is one of the harbingers of the new bridge, and they are right in the way. And it's one of the companies, one of the pieces of property that are being eminent domained out of business here at this point. And so he made a deal with them finally. He tried to fight it in court, but he ended up taking, I think, about $650,000 for it, $675,000, and shutting the place down. So, you know, for those of you who are used to going down to Southern Oyster and getting fish and oysters, it is a big loss. It's something that it certainly takes a little, you know, a little bit of our uniqueness away. You know, when you go over to Pensacola and you go to Joe Paddy's, which is pretty amazing, and you say, well, gosh, you know, there's nothing down on the river like that. We have some great seafood shops in Mobile, but Southern Oyster was one right down there on the river.
No desire to move to a new location?
He said that it would just be too much, you know, that it would take him basically millions to reproduce what he had. And, you know, that's you and I probably have a very similar point of view on eminent domain. And, you know, I find it to be, I think it's one of those things where a lot of times people just get taken by the government on these programs. And, you know, Barbara Drummond actually has had a bill up this year to say, hey, you know, you really have to give people the value of what to replace what they had, not just come in and say, this is what it's worth right this moment. Because, you know, you're not taking into account 84 years of being in business. You're not taking into account what would it take to get a similar situation a lot of times. You know, there's no way. I mean, take $675,000 and go try to buy a spot down on the river and build a building. Good luck.
Yeah, that's for sure. But even if you went somewhere else, you know, how much business you lose by not being in the same place. I mean, those are things that have to be measured, and I'm not sure. Hey, and as we continue through the new issue of Landing Up 2, I got to ask you, I mean, just get personal here. You okay, man?
I'm okay. I'm good. Yes. It's, I had a little event last week. I ended up with a blood clot in my leg somehow, some way, and actually ended up with a pulmonary embolism as well. Mm. So I got to spend a couple of days in the hospital in Spring Hill Medical Center. It was a little different for me. I'm not usually a sickly person, and I haven't been in the hospital a whole lot in my life. So, but I'm doing fine, and just thought it was, I guess, more or less wanted to write about it a little bit. Make a little fun of it, make light of it a little bit, but also just to point out there were some things that I should have been paying attention to.
Well, and
hopefully other people pay attention to things than I do.
That's what I want you to do. Can you give us because I'm reading through it in your Damn the Torpedoes column. I'm interested in, what did that, I mean, you describe it in here, but describe it for folks, what that felt like when you had this.
Well, I mean, what it started out was I felt like I was walking down the street on a Wednesday and my calf muscle cramped up, and I thought, geez, I got to pull the muscle or done something. And then it kind of went away, and then Thursday morning I went out and I rode a stationary bike, and I was just really out of breath, and then my legs started to swell, my calf started really swelling up that day and got really swollen, and then the next morning it was very swollen still, and I started thinking, I wonder what's going on here. And so I started to worry about a blood clot. I mean, it's nothing that's in family history, but it just sort of struck me as maybe that's what this is, and it ended up being that. And then I got to the hospital, the doctor says, well, you know, have you had any chest pains lately? And I thought, yeah, there was that moment a couple of days ago where I thought I was having a heart attack for a little bit, but it went away, so I went to work, so I was fine. And that was the pulmonary embolism.
Wow.
So, and, you know, that's... I mean, I'm doing well. I'm very fortunate, but
Well, I appreciate you putting that out there.
As silly as the column kind of is, trying to be funny in some ways, I did think, you know, maybe some people will recognize a little bit. I look back and say, man, that was pretty stupid to not take some of these things, some of these cues, and do something about it in typical, you know, fashion, just to sort of say, oh, well, I'll tough it out. I'll go through it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, well, there was a story earlier this week how, you know, men, we don't go to the doctor. I'm the worst. I am the poster child for that. And, you know, you worry about things, but it's almost like until somebody you know has something like this happen, and I mean, then you don't think, it can't be real. It can't be, oh, well, Rob had this. Maybe I'll pay attention.
Well, it's, you know, as I wrote in my column, it's basically, then I did something I never do. I go to the doctor. And I mean, that's just... You know, and I'm the son of a doctor, so, you know, I grew up just saying, hey, Dad, what's this? What's going on here? You know, and so, and I have just a tendency to always just be, I'll figure it. I'll get on the internet and figure something out.
There you go. WebMD will fix it. WebMD will tell you how.
But it's, you know, I think in retrospect, after the last few days of it, I look at it and read more about it. I'm like, gosh, man, that really was pretty dangerous. And, you know, there were definitely some signs of, you know, when I was exercising, shortness of breath, things like that, that I had not had before, and all of a sudden was just having this real struggle to breathe at when I was exercising. And so, you know, that's one of the things that really you should pay attention to. If you all of a sudden have some big change in that, and you're, especially if you're having any swelling in your legs, your extremities, definitely look at that. It's very dangerous. It kills a lot of people.
I appreciate you putting that out and bringing that discussion up. And believe me, it's opened my eyes wider to it. All right, before we wrap, folks want to get this copy of Lanyap, where do they go? And let's talk about getting it online, too.
You can get both copies at 1,500 different locations throughout Mobile Baldwin County. And you can also check us out online at lanyapmobile.com. The Nappy finalists will be announced next week. And so we may be putting those online a little earlier for those folks who are online. So check that out. We'll be having them pretty soon. So, folks, the Nappy voting will start next week, and it's going to get crazy.
Can we get a copy of that before it goes out to the general public? And if we don't like it, can we have it redacted by any chance?
We can do what we can for you, but that's this is. I don't want to end up before Congress.
I'd like to see Rob's columns with redaction. It'd be
interesting. The redactions take a long time. Weeks sometimes.
Rob, man, I'm glad you're feeling better, and appreciate the time this morning.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Will do. Rob Holbert with Lanyap, and we're coming right back. Right, 855 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, right? We'll do the next show in 3 hours, Midday Mobile. Remember, we're 10 now, so we can't be responsible. We're double digits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no longer I guess we're preteens now.
Oh, listen, the preteen thing starts, my goodness. Because just the same way, I probably did the same thing. You were never your age, you were that and a half or a quarter or three quarters. The preteen thing, like 8-year-old saying, I'm preteen. Well, yeah, like an infant is preteen, too. I mean, until you're post-teen, you're preteen, unless you're teen. I mean, don't encourage us at 10 to be preteen. We need to stay 10.
Okay.
Just enjoy being 10. By the way, you can go to our website and catch podcasts of the morning show, midday show, the 40-some-odd hours a week of live local broadcasting we do. Those podcasts are available, fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link for podcast, or you can have them delivered right there to your smartphone. You got Apple products, you got the iPhone, you can get iTunes. If you're on a old-fashioned Android phone like me, you can use Stitcher. Also, if you go to Spotify or if you use that TuneIn Radio app to listen to us live, which, by the way, that's the app you use to listen to the station on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio. It's really cool. It has a pause feature when you get a call and everything. It's good stuff. But while you're on there, it also has our podcast on there, so you can double up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that easy. And I like the Sports and Outdoors tab, personally, because we take all the sports shows that we have over the weekend and then Monday night, Sports Night with Corey LeBounty and myself, and Bill Finn. We include him since there's outdoors. Mm-hmm. And if you miss any of those shows over the weekend, just click on the Sports and Outdoors tab. You got Prep Sports Report. You got Bill Finch, Plain Gardening with Bill Finch. You got Southern Fairways Golf and Sports Night and the FM Talk 106.5 Outdoor Show, where I imagine you'll get into a lot more deeper fishing talk now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Summer.
Yeah, not the half and half. It's all fishing, which, hey, by the way, too, we're taking the midday replay hours 10 to noon on the road Saturday. We're going to be at Negus Marine. They had a big closeout sale. They're going out of business, and they are liquidating, and I have been walking around in the shop out there, and anything you need. You get a boat, there's something they've got that you need, brand new, that's sitting on a shelf there. It's unreal. After all those years of business, 40-some years of business, all the inventory they have, that's sales going on right now. But we're going to be out there in person from 10 to noon on Saturday. So stop by and say hello. All right. And yeah, and that'll be right after, a couple hours after FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors that runs on Saturday morning. All right. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Y'all have a great one. Talk to you at noon.